Physio Room in association with Able Bodies Physiotherapy, 2 George's Street, Newbridge, 045-435-480 and ablebodies.ie.
Yes, indeed. Time for our new feature. We did this actually a couple of years ago with Able Bodies Physiotherapy, and it was a very popular piece, the Physio Room, where we take a different topic each week and we discuss it with a chartered physiotherapist. And Leah Purcell joins me again. Welcome back to the programme, Leah. Good to talk to you again. And we have lots to chat about in the coming weeks, but we're going to start off this week with, say, joint pain, joint replacements, and in particular the old hips and the knees are the things that need to get replaced most often, I'm sure. What can you tell us just as an introduction into this piece?
Good morning, Owen. It's great to be back, and it's great to be online to you again. I picked this topic, hip and knee replacements, because they're probably, well, they're certainly the most common type of joint replacements surgery done in Ireland. And certainly from working in the clinic with people who have pain in their hips or their knees, often their question is, do I need to go for a replacement now? Should I go and get it done now? And I just wanted to clear up a few things and just let people know, like, when you're at the point that you should consider a joint replacement in terms of your pain, because it's not a quick fix. And if you speak to anyone who's had joint replacements, they're generally very successful down the line. But the first few months after having a hip replacement or a knee replacement can be really, really rough. And if people aren't kind of mentally prepared for that, and they think it's going to be a quick fix, they can panic and really stress about what's going on and wondering if there's something wrong.
So what are the reasons then that people might get hip and knee replacements? And then you have the other kind of joints maybe that are less common, ankles and shoulders. But if they're experiencing that kind of pain, is a replacement always the best case scenario, or are there different routes to go down?
Yeah, so I suppose the first question is, what are the reasons? The main reason is arthritis in the joint, and that causes pain and stiffness. So arthritis, it literally means inflammation of the joint, and it usually happens as a result of the little bumper or the cartilage in the joint that separates the bones. The cartilage is kind of a rubbery material that acts as a bumper and keeps everything lubricated and all the movement smooth. Most people get arthritis because they've wear and tear in that rubbery part, and the cartilage starts to break down, and that causes pain and swelling and joint restriction. There are and that can lead to a point where you need a joint replacement. There are other reasons, like sometimes in younger people, if they have a bad injury to their hip or their knee, that can speed up that cartilage degeneration, and they can get it at a younger age as a result of that injury, or a bad infection in the joint. And then there's another group of people who might, particularly with the hips, have like a congenital joint deformity. So they might have been born with an issue that their hips weren't the optimal shape. So that has led to the cartilage wearing down a bit quicker. And lastly, then there would be a group of people with sort of autoimmune inflammatory conditions, such as rheumatoid arthritis. And that's kind of where the cells in the joint nearly attack the cartilage themselves, and it comes to a point where they're considering a joint replacement. So they'd be the main groups of people, like the reasons why you might consider a joint replacement. And basically the bottom line is all of those things can cause pain, swelling and restriction in the joint.
Yeah. You mentioned from the outset that it's not a quick fix, and that maybe it can usually be a last resort. But if somebody is experiencing that wear and tear, are there other avenues that they can go down, or does it always lead to surgery?
No, there certainly are, and I would really urge anyone, like, unfortunately, the way the system is in Ireland, it can often be the person attends their GP with a painful joint, and the GP may refer them on to a consultant orthopaedic surgeon, either publicly or privately, and the surgeon's job is generally to do surgery. But physiotherapy is a really important piece in that picture, in that physio won't cure the degeneration in the cartilage, but it can work on decreasing the pain, decreasing the inflammation, and then building up the strength of the muscles around the hip or the knee so that the joint is moving better. And that may avoid surgery completely. And if it doesn't avoid surgery, working on those things will help after surgery anyway. So, and the other thing is when you see a physio, you can get advice around what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. And some people come into me with knee pain and they don't really realise it, but they've been doing a load of gardening and that's what's really aggravating the knee, or they've been doing a load of hiking and that's what's, and they just need to take a break for a while and then return to it in a kind of a gradual way, and they can be fine. But certainly the physio or the GP can refer you for an X-ray or an MRI to have a closer look to see exactly what's going on in there before deciding on the next step, kind of.
And are all surgeries the same then, or are they different? So say, for example, if you look at a hip replacement and a knee replacement, what's the difference in that surgery?
Yeah, well, obviously they're different joints. And the orthopedic surgery resurfaces, so it puts a little metal surface at the end. For your knee, it puts it at the end of your thigh bone and one at the top of your shin bone, so that where the knee meets, it's smooth metal surfaces instead of kind of cartilage that was there previously. And in the same in the hip, that they give you a new, the hip is like a ball plugged into a socket, so they give you a new socket in your pelvis and a new ball at the top of the femur. So the idea is the same, that you're replacing where the two bones meet with a metal smooth substance or material. But the aftermath is a little bit different between a hip and a knee. For example, hips, you need to be very careful with them for the first 3 months, because your hips rely on the ligaments around the hip joint to be stable and to stop them from popping out. So for the first 3 or 4 months after a hip replacement, you have to be careful in your movements and careful in what you do. And there's a few precautions that they'll go through with you in the hospital. You're not supposed to cross your legs. You're not supposed to pivot on the operated leg. You're not supposed to sit in a seat with your bum lower than your knees because of the angle it creates at your hip. So you do need to be cautious with the hip joint after a hip replacement. But on the flip side of that, often a hip replacement gives instant relief and people feel much better after a hip replacement initially. In contrast to that, a knee replacement can be really painful for the first 6 weeks. Like, people can be really shocked by how sore it is and how swollen, how much bruising they have. It can go all the way down to their toes, the bruising in the leg with a knee replacement. But the knee is stable as soon as you put it in there. So as I worked with a consultant in a hospital once, and he said to me, if a patient could get up and walk off the operating table and walk home with their knee replacement, they could do that. Now, they can't do that because they're too sore.
Yeah.
And there's other things going on, like blood pressure and anaesthetic and all. But a knee is kind of stable as soon as you put it in. You don't need to be as careful as of kind of popping it out as you do with a hip.
Yeah, just talk to me a bit more about the rehab then after a surgery, and how long it can generally take for people to get back to normal, and in most instances, do people feel that relief?
Yeah, so in general, hip replacements overall, and I've had a look at the research on this before talking to you, and I know it from my own clinical practice, hip replacements are generally much more... If you interview people at a year after the surgery, people are much happier with it generally. There's generally around 1 in 5 people after a knee replacement that won't be happy with the outcome of their surgery. So they might feel it's worse, or it's stayed the same, or wasn't going through the trauma of it, kind of. So they're the general kind of outcomes. And in terms of getting back to normal, it really depends on what your normal is after the surgery. So if you're a very active person and you're whatever, hiking and biking and swimming and, or you know, doing or gardening a lot, or involved in things that you're on your feet a lot, the recovery will be obviously a bit longer because you need to get to a higher level. But in general, you're in hospital for a couple of days, assuming you've no other medical conditions or nothing else going on. You're in and out kind of within maybe 1 overnight or possibly 2, depending on what time you had your surgery during the day. You'd be very sore. I worked as a physio in an orthopaedic ward, so I remember people hating seeing me coming with the crutches to get them up out of bed on day one, and they generally just don't want to move in the bed because they're sore and they want to be left alone. But it's really important to get moving early and to get the right advice early about getting moving. And the first couple of days in hospital, you'll see the physio, and you won't be discharged until you're safe walking on either on crutches or with a frame. And you'll have to be able to go up and down the stairs. There's usually kind of 3 or 4 little steps they have in the hospital to check that you're safe on that. That's if you have steps at home. Mm. And then once you get home, there is a period, probably about 2-3 weeks, where you really just have to let the healing happen. And patience is your biggest friend, being patient. And after that, then, you know, you can really get, or you'd be given exercises, simple exercises from the hospital to do every day when you're discharged. And then after that, I would really advise you get in to see your physio at about kind of 4 weeks, 3-4 weeks post-surgery, and make a plan as to how to get back to normal.
There's a message in here, Leah, from a texter up in Maynooth, and she says, I've had one knee replacement done. I need the other one done. However, I won't be able to kneel down, which is awkward, so I'm holding off. Can I strap it up in the meantime, maybe with a brace or something, and could you recommend it? I have awful arthritis, aches and pains, etc. What advice would you give to that texter?
Yeah, so unfortunately, with knee replacements, the main reason that they work is for pain relief. And what that lady is saying about not being able to kneel, that's sometimes because you're left a bit restricted in the movement of the knee. So it can be very sensitive to kneel on it. I would really urge her to see a physio, even if it was just once or twice. And she can ask her GP to refer her publicly if she's not in a position to go privately. Now, you would have to wait longer for a public appointment, but there's certainly things she could do with the other knee to help it along. It may be a brace. I can't really advise her on a brace over the phone because I haven't assessed her, but a brace may help. Some exercises for the knee may help. And there may be an option if she gets a little bit of physio that she would be able, like some people can kneel on a knee replacement. It's not a blanket, you can't, but some people are very sensitive on it. So I would really urge her to either book into a physio clinic or to go to her, to ask her doctor to refer her to public physio, because there's definitely things you could do. The other thing for her, the likes of an exercise bike may help, or exercising in the pool is brilliant, like aqua aerobics, or even just walking, marching in the pool, that kind of thing can really help alleviate joint symptoms, both on the operated side and the other side. But I do understand her reluctance to have a surgery and not to be able to kneel, because that is, even if you have a fall, getting up off the ground or that kind of thing, it's important to be able to have that function in at least one knee, if not both knees, ideally. So yeah. If she could get into physio and just have a chat about maybe some exercises she could do that might help the operating knee to kneel again, or certainly help the one that she hasn't had surgery on to relieve the pain in it and keep the movement in it.
Another one here says, can you ask Leah what's her opinion on Baker cysts at the back of your knee? I have had two of them for years now. I have trouble with my cartilage in the same knee. I was told by consultants and some physios that they won't drain them anymore because of infections. Is there any other treatments I could get? I've never heard of these before. Baker cysts, Leah.
Yeah, so Baker cyst is a lump at the back of your knee. It can be a hard lump or it can be soft. And basically, we all have a little pouch at the back of our knee. It's usually like a little deflated kind of balloon at the back of our knee. It just sits there and nothing happens. But then if we have any kind of swelling in the knee, that tends to be where it goes. So it can pop out. The swelling can sort of leak backwards and fill up that Baker cyst like a balloon and cause it to be painful and restrictive. And it there's actually not a problem with the back of the knee, even though that's where the swelling is. It's coming from within the knee joint, but the swelling that's being generated in the knee is just kind of leaking out to the back. So they don't really drain it anymore, number one, because of its infection risk, and then number two, because you kind of risk it just filling back up again. Like, you know, if the source of the swelling isn't addressed, you can drain it and a day or two later it's back again because the swelling just fills it up again. But what can really help with that is compression. So if you treat it like any other swelling, particularly if it's a soft fist, so compression, maybe getting a sleeve, just a soft elastic sleeve from the chemist, like they're only like a tenner, it doesn't have to be a big expensive brace, and just wearing that when you're on your feet, just that light compression can help to keep the fluid sort of moving around the knee and stop it from sitting at the back of the knee. Icing is really good for swelling, or can be really good for swelling, but you need to be doing it properly. So just kind of 5 minutes of an ice pack every second or third day isn't going to cut it. You'd want to try 15 minutes of an ice pack at the back of your knee and at the front of your knee, kind of three times a day for a week, you know, to give it a good go rather than just kind of half doing it or doing it willy-nilly with the ice pack. And the other thing is the pool might help as well, the compression of the water on the knee joints, just walking in the pool and moving, exercising the leg. Again, the physio can advise you on what to actually do in the water. But there are things you can't. And the other thing is massage, like having a, and some people find they can manage the Baker's cyst well by going in and to see a physio every month or every 6 weeks and just kind of having it massaged out, and that gives them relief for a while.
There's a message in from Chris who says, I had a hip replacement in May 2008 and a knee replacement in January 2009. Never looked back. So a success story there from Chris. Anne says, I have bone on bone with a lot of compression in my back. What's the best exercise I could do to relieve this pain? Bone on bone back pain.
Yeah, so that's arthritis. So basically what I was saying to you, the cartilage, the little bumpers, the rubbery bits between the bones in her spine have worn down. So it's hard for me to be calling out exercises over the radio without assessing her, but movement exercises are very good. So you could, and I don't mean to be disordered, but you could see a physio to get given four or five exercises to do every day. Pilates is really excellent for back pain because it works on flexibility as well as strength of your muscles, but you want to get into a class that's the right level for you. So if you can, if there is a physio-led Pilates near you, and if there's not, try and get into a small class where the teacher can keep a close eye on you. You don't want to be, if you have bone on bone and you're in bad way with your back, you don't want to be in a big group of 20 or 30 people and kind of not wondering if you're doing the right thing or not. So the pool can be good. A lot of the time with that kind of back pain, standing really aggravates it, like, or even kind of strolling, like doing the shopping or standing in a queue or walking, that kind. So really to avoid doing that for too long, to know what your triggers are and avoid them in terms of pain. But strengthening the muscles around your spine can help to sort of nearly like wearing a corset. If you can strengthen your core muscles, they kind of hold you up and take a bit of the weight off the lower back. But I do think it would be a good idea for her to see a physio for more specific advice on that.
All right. Listen, we'll have to leave it there, Leah. Lots of messages coming in, but we're just out of time. And we're looking forward to chatting to you over the next number of weeks. Lots of different topics to discuss. And as always, if people have questions, they can get in touch with us as well. But Leah, great talking to you again.
Yeah, thanks very much, Owen.
No problem at all. Leah Purcell.
Have a good week. Bye-bye.
From Able Body Physiotherapy in Newbridge. Thanks as always for your time, and we'll do it again next Thursday at the same time, just after 10 o'clock.
The Physio Room, in association with Able Bodies Physiotherapy, 2 George's Street, Newbridge, 045 435 480 and ablebodies.ie.